Florida, and we're holding a little trial interview here with Mr. Jasper Henry of the Choctaw Tribe. And this is Monday afternoon of a beautiful Monday at 3:17 on 3 December. And Mr. Henry and I are sitting on the stage in the Choctaw Central School.
That's right.
Making this little recording. Mr. Henry, would you just please tell me, say your name again so you have said it, and then when you were born?
My name is Jasper Henry, and I was born on August 20th, 1917.
Were you born in this area?
I was born at, what they call Beat 5 back out in this part of country back here. Of course, I think that's still in Neshoba County. And I have been raised in Neshoba County. Of course, I had my father and mother man moved around here and there. And we also moved to Winston County for a couple of years or so. We finally moved back in Neshoba County. And when I was little, we've been living on a sharecropper
with
the white people. And in my community where I live in now, my father built up a school there in the 1930 somewhere along, and that maybe a little bit later. And I was pretty well grown up kid then, somewhere around 14 years old. That's when I went to school there. And I finished I finished or not, but I went to sixth grade, they considered, and they sent me to Cherokee, North Carolina.
How'd that happen?
Well, at that time, within the vicinity, Choctaws didn't have no higher school than sixth grade. That was just the highest they had was sixth grade, you know. And so if anybody wanted to go in Florida in their education, well, they had to go to Oklahoma or Cherokee at that time.
Because what you're saying is they were not admitted to the white schools?
That's right, yeah.
Now, have you got children in school now?
I have one in the school.
Where, at this school here?
No, he's in a white school up here at Neshoba Central.
I see. How did it happen you elected to put him in that instead of this school here?
Well, what happened was that I also been moving around too, see, and I went to Cincinnati, Ohio, lived there for about 10 years, and then my wife had to separated, and she took my kids and came back home. And when I did come back, well, I couldn't find no place to make a home for my children, you know. So they were kind of here and there. And most of them, well, now they are over at in this area, Pearl River. And one of them, that's a boy, he's with grandmother. He's the one that's going to school at the North Shore Central.
How's he find it in that school? Is it all right with him? Is he getting along okay?
Yeah, I think he's doing fine.
he enjoys it and all that.
Yeah, of course, one handicap that he has, which he will have it all his life, but when he was a little boy, about 5 years old, no, about 4 years old, I guess, he had found a tumor back in one of his eyes, you know, and so they had to operate on him, take one of his eyes out, you know, and therefore he's one eye, and that's, I think that's going to be one of the kind of the handicap that he'll have for all his life.
Now, Mr. Henry, in that connection and the removal of his eye and all that sickness, what doctors did that work?
Well, these were eye doctors, and this happened in Cincinnati also.
In Cincinnati?
Yeah. And they had a hospital over there for children's hospital, they called it. And we didn't, excuse me, I was in the little children get sick or something like that. Well, we usually take those children to children's hospital, you know, check up and things like that. And while we was doing that, that was time that they found out, well, actually, her mother happened to find and notice something was wrong with him, you know. So she actually found out that he was blind on one eye. And he didn't notice it, see. So, we kind of looked into it a little bit. He was kind of blind. So, therefore, we had to take it to a hospital over there. That's when they decided that he had a tumor. Of course, I don't know these doctors' name or anything.
No, I wasn't thinking of that, but I was really thinking you weren't in an Indian community, were you?
No.
Or are these men charging you for this cost? Or
well,
was
they,
it?
They had charged me, but not Red Cross.
Blue Cross?
Yeah, Blue Cross.
You were carrying this type of insurance?
Yeah.
So that took care of it?
That took care of it.
Well, you didn't have any problem with medical attention because you were Indian?
No, not for...
Did they know you were Indian?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had almost full history with us. That is not on us, but they had it over there because they had the office already had to send it over because we was going over there on the relocation business.
Well, now I didn't pick up in discussing with you before. What were you doing in Cincinnati?
I was trained in horology business.
In what?
In horology.
Horology?
Yeah.
Predicting from the stars, or what?
No,
is horology?
No,
watches.
Mm.
Watches.
Making it.
Where'd you get trained in that?
I got that training at Jones County Junior College.
Is Jones County, Mississippi?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that, and had 2 years of it. Thought I might get a job around here, but you know how the white people was at that time, you know. And I couldn't very well get along with it. So when I first changed my head, I thought I might do better by going other place, you know, because I seen it done before, like if I had to go to New York or maybe just show us out of Mississippi. Well, I could mingled along with the white people, Nancy. So I just went over there. And they said there was a lot of business and things like that going over there, you know, in the wash business. So I decided to go there. But come to find out, there was nothing over there that was open as a heraldry or business, you know.
So what did you do?
So I had to go around and look around a little bit, and I finally wound up in a heating business before. Because in between there, I worked with some, I forgot this, the company that I worked with was, well, it was just a small little company. It was for the handicapped people, you know. But I wasn't there all the handicapped, but they put me in there. By the reason why they had me for handicapped at that time, in the 53 I was operated on tuberculosis, which I had, which I had developed in 1948. And I had that kind of bother me all the time. So they had operated on me in 53, I think it was. And since then, well, every time I mention that, everybody seemed to be kind of a little curious about it, see.
Well, now...
Well, actually, at that time, actually, they had my name down as disabled veteran, like that. So I couldn't get no heavy job or except, but just as easy, like I said, a watchmaking or something like that, just sit around like a tinker and do little things like that. That was good. And, well, I couldn't find anything like that to do in Cincinnati, so therefore I had to wind up in, just like I said, this little company there. Paid 50 cents an hour. Well, I couldn't make no living.
50 cents an hour. What year was that, more or less?
Oh, I think it was in 58.
Were they paying you the same rate as other people were getting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The going rate was 50 cents an hour.
Well, actually, just like a beginner, they start you from 50 cents and they're going up to $1 and maybe $1.50.
So how long did you spend around Cincinnati and all?
Oh, I spent around about 11 years.
But, and you're altogether removed from the tribe. You aren't having anything to do with them, are you, at this time, or are you?
At this time?
During that 11 years, I mean.
Oh, during that 11 years.
While you're
years,
in Cincinnati.
I just, didn't have nothing to do with the tribal or anything.
Yeah.
I was just out of it. Of course, anybody doing that, tribal don't think that they throwing you out of anything. You know, you can go as you please and stay as long as you please. You always come back.
Are you full-blooded Choctaw?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And but you moved
wait
in there?
I don't think I'm quite full.
But yeah. You're mostly.
Yeah, mostly Indian.
Choctaw.
Because I have some relatives. I think my mother was I think she was a half Indian.
And what, half white?
Half Indian, half white. And my grandmother, she was full white. You know, all the rest of that, they were, had most of white blood in it. Of course, my daddy was, I think he was full blooded. Someone told me that I shouldn't be real full. Maybe about eight.
Was Choctaw your first tongue, first language?
Yeah.
I mean, did you grow up as a child speaking Choctaw naturally first?
No, not necessarily. I had both of them.
Did you?
Yeah. See, the reason for that was that my mother and sisters and also my father, my father mostly, well, has born and came up, they can all speak English. Not all that good, but what about you understand, you know? So they talked me in Choctaw, talked me in English. So just gradually picked it up on both sides. It came up.
Are you still a Choctaw speaker?
Huh?
Are you still a Choctaw speaker? You can still talk it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, most of the time I think I would rather kind of speak in the Choctaw language.
You would?
Yeah.
Well,
in certain cases I would like to speak in English. Now, for instance, some of the Bible interpretations, you know, in the Sunday school. Well, of course, I don't have to teach or anything like that, but when someone asks me to try to explain something like that, it seems like, I mostly study Bible in the English language, you know, and seemed like I understand that better than I would my own native tongue of Bible written, you know.
Is the Bible translated into Choctaw?
Yes.
And you can read Choctaw, can you?
Yeah.
Can you write it?
No, I can't write it. Of course, I could if I just sit down and study and things like that. Well, I imagine I could write, and I'd have to try to do that.
Do you talk Choctaw at home?
Yes,
sir. And within your family?
Yeah. Well, the fact that, within my sisters and brothers, I usually use both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they use both of them. We just talk, if you was Choctaw and speak English to me, I'll talk Choctaw back to you, you know. Well, we both understand the same thing. Don't
you? You don't have any problem shifting from one of the languages to the other, huh?
No.
No problem. Well, now...
That is for my own individuals.
Sure.
Of course. And there is some that they can't shift around like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of them, they know Choctaw language very good, and they don't know the English language too well or something like that. They just speak a few words of English and just come right over and speak Choctaw, and it's like everything.
Yeah.
But they have a little problem doing it.
Are your parents, either of them, alive?
No, not at all.
And you got any old relatives? I mean, an earlier relatives, generation than you?
Let me see. I have a few of them that's on my mother's side.
Well, now, can they speak English, or do they just speak Choctaw?
Yeah, they're the one that can, I got one, my uncle, he can speak mostly English, and, he can speak Choctaw pretty good, but not well as some of these Choctaws, but of course he's
He says he's Choctaw, but I just call him half Choctaw. Well, he's the one that my grandmother's son. My grandfather, he was half white. So that's why he was more of a white fella than an Indian. He always associated with the Indians and white.
Well, now you spent 11 years around Cincinnati and moving in the white society.
Yeah.
And what prompted you to come back to Mississippi, where one time they wouldn't even let you into schools?
I don't know. Well, I guess I just got tired of it, and I thought probably I might be able to do better at that time.
That will crackle in this. You can hear it.
And so I just made up my mind.
But you were making a living, were you, at the time?
Well, it was kind of hard. About the same as I'm doing now. Just better than making me.
What are you working at now?
I'm not working in school right
now. Oh, you're not. You're not employed by the tribe or anything. I see. Well, you can, could you still repair watches?
Well, if I had a tube, I think I can.
You don't have the tools for it.
No.
Well, listen, you spoke to me about being a veteran. Did I understand you right? Did you have some military service?
Mm.
When, World War II?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Were Choctaws subject to conscription? Were you... How'd you get it? What were you in, Army or Navy or?
Army.
And how'd you get in it?
Well, I was drafted.
Oh, the Choctaws were draftable, were they?
Well, I guess they were, because I think some of these Choctaws in Mississippi were drafted. Of course, I got in through the Cherokee Nation. I was in school at that time, you know.
And they were drafted up there, were they,
yeah.
The Cherokee?
Well, some were drafted, and some of them just volunteered.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess it was some law on that deal that the Cherokees were draftable, you know.
Well, how about Choctaws, were they?
I think they were the same.
I don't think they ever enforced it against the Seminoles in Florida.
Yeah.
I really don't think they did.
Well, a lot of people said that, they're not supposed to be drafted or anything like that. If they want to go, they shouldn't go in voluntarily.
Well, how long did you put in the military service?
Well, about 7.5 years.
7.5? So you stayed after the war a while.
Yeah. I was intended to stay in there.
And complete a full...
Yeah, full.
What happened? You got tuberculosis?
Yeah, that's right.
Where'd that come from? Did you get it in the service?
Well, I picked it up somewhere while I was in the service. Of course, I had an idea. Well, I picked it up was at, I was stationed at the Kitchens Inn Hospital, Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
And I was working in the hospital because I just came from Korea at that time. They relocated me down to Colorado. I was working in the hospital, Kitchen Hospital, TV war. I was working there. So I come in contact with a lot of these TB patients. So after that, that was just about where I picked it up.
Were you ever shipped overseas during the war?
Yeah.
I mean, World War II?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I went to Europe.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I went to Europe while I stayed around in England, just about 6 months. I remember on this, on the plane, it was on June 6, 44.
D-Day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in there.
Were you?
Yeah.
What were? What were you, an infantry soldier or what?
Field
oh, you were? What kind of cannon?
Hunting firepower houses.
I see, with an infantry division?
Well, I was in Army, what's called it?
Army artillery? First,
yeah.
But you weren't part of a division?
No.
But you crossed on D-Day, did you?
Yeah.
How about that? Any problems getting ashore? Did you have any?
Well, I didn't have too much of a problem.
You got ashore without much of a scrap.
Yeah, because infantry and other troops and already went through that and shoved everything out, you know, just made a way for us to get in there. And so after we got on the beach here, then,
what was the beachhead? Do you remember what they called it?
Normandy Beachhead.
It was Normandy.
And I think where St. Lowe was on the way after, it was on our right at that time.
Were you a cannoneer?
Yeah.
Were you on the guns?
Mm-hmm. I was working at number one.
Oh, you were?
Boy.
Did you find that interesting?
Yeah, I got very
I served with the 105 Howitzers too. I was with a tank outfit. We had, do you know what the M7 was?
Yeah.
It was a self-propelled?
Yeah.
Well, I was in a battalion of those.
Uh-huh.
And not, you were probably with a truck drawn.
Yeah, that's a, what's called cabin.
Yeah, yeah. Well now, do you, have you got a military disability pension of something?
Yeah.
You get something for this?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I see.
Yeah, I had just got me off 100%,
but eventually they cut me down. What grade did you advance to in the Army?
What grade?
I mean, were you a corporal, a sergeant, or staff sergeant?
I went to staff sergeant.
Did you?
That was one of my second hits when I took that up.
And do I understand you went to Korea too?
Yeah.
Were you in action, in combat
in
Korea?
No, I wasn't in action or anything like that while in Korea.
You were too old by that time, I guess.
I was just looking up to get out of there.
What kind of outfit were you in at that time? Hospital corps?
The 58 Reconnaissance Group.
I see.
Yeah, they happened to. And I didn't know they had a 58 reconnaissance, they called, but they organized two reconnaissance outfits down there while they were down there, you know. So they called it 156 reconnaissance troop and 158 reconnaissance troop, you know. So I was in that 58 reconnaissance, of course, I was in camp area. We didn't have no problem now, of course, we was kind of aware of it, nothing happened. Some of the guys that decided to come back, so they asked me if I wanted to. I said to myself, I signed up for stateside duty when I on my second hitch. So I'm like, I'd say just coming back. And I came back.
Well, was there anything special about being an Indian in the U.S. Army? I mean, did you have any sense of especially being any different than anybody else?
No.
They call you chief or anything?
Well, they called me chief, but they mostly called me by my name and rank if I had it.
Yeah, so it wasn't, you didn't feel in any way set apart?
Well, you know yourself, how they usually do, you know, when they're all together, they call you in things they want to, you know,
yeah.
And call in too, so that was just the same thing. call me in.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you talked a minute ago about studying the Bible in English. You are a Christian, are you?
Yeah.
And regular attendant and so on?
Yeah.
Is this common? I mean, are most of the Choctaws you know Christians, or have any of them retained the, whatever the native faith
was?
Well,
some seem to retain their own old traditional ways. And, we got where a majority of them can understand what a Christian is. They can understand what a bit of they can get on being a Christian. So, I think that the Christian way of living is getting most out of being the people.
What church do you belong to?
The Baptist.
Are most of the Choctaws Baptist, or is it fair to say that?
Most of the Choctaw people are on this reservation, I'd say, is a Baptist people. Of course, we got some Catholics, and got some,
Seventh-day, Mormons?
No.
Congregational, Presbyterian? Methodist?
They had some Methodist, but I don't know what they still got to be.
Church of Christ?
No, not.
Not
this. Let me see, what's next to Church of Christ?
I don't know.
I know there's one more.
Well, do the Choctaws still have any ceremonials once a year or so that would hark back to the earlier Indian methods?
Yearly event like that, they don't much have anything like that. All except, during the fair year, that's about it. On the thing that they participate in, some old ways of dancing, ball games, and things like that.
Are there some people that still know these?
Yeah.
I mean, they know the dances and so on? The Creeks had what they called a green corn dance. Once a year at the ripening of the corn or something. Did the Choctaws, in your memory, ever have any ceremony of that kind?
They might have had it, but I don't believe I remember any such a ceremony like that.
Did the Choctaws at some time function in clans?
No.
You know, a wolf clan, bear clan, like this. Have you ever encountered that?
No.
Not familiar with that at all. In the Creek and Seminole cultures, the clans were a factor, and they still are.
Yeah.
You never had anything of this kind in your background at all, as you recall.
No.
Well, that's interesting. One more little point. Have you ever studied the history of your people to any degree at all?
No. All except with just the people, some older people, tell me just a little bit here and there, and that I couldn't.
Were you ever told by any of your grandparents or anyone, what would be called a Choctaw legend? A story of Choctaw origins or anything like this? You ever, as a boy, did anybody ever tell you this kind of thing?
No.
Not familiar with them. I'm not asking you to embarrass you, but just do you happen to know the names of any very famous Choctaw chiefs in the days when the tribe was big and powerful?
See.
I just
push
Yeah.
Push Mataha.
Push Mataha, yeah.
Yeah, he's the one with the Rajasthan and chief.
That is right. Do you know anything about him except his name?
No, but the only thing I know is that he was trying to lead his people in the right way. I understood, I don't know. But, they were such a small group.
Well, there must have been a pretty good sized number of Choctaws back in the early days. I don't know what the population was. But have you ever visited any of the Choctaws in Oklahoma? There's a very substantial group up there, too, you know. Have you ever been to the Oklahoma reservation?
No, I never have.
Never have?
A lot of people have been going back and forth.
They have?
Well, I've never seen that kind of I'm a lucky guy when I'm about going places like that.
Well, you've been around the world pretty much, so haven't been in the Army.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to the west coast of the United States? Have you ever been to California?
Just a little while.
But you've been out there.
Yeah.
So you've been pretty much over the United States.
Yeah. Well, I was stationed out at the state of Vermont for a while. I was going into service. The time was, December 7th I was over there when this Pearl Harbor happened.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. I was in Vermont. And, I've been around in Washington State, and I'm through there. And I've been in San Francisco there. That's where I landed. Coming back.
Have you ever been in my state of Florida?
No, that's one state I haven't been in.
One of the gentlemen out there had gone down there and picked vegetables for pay, you know. They have a big crop every year. I forget which one it was, but he'd been down there and seasonally picked vegetables.
Yeah,
he'd come back up. I forget which one of them it was.
That's Charlie Benson, I think. He's the one.
Who?
Charlie Benson.
Yeah, I believe it was too. I forgot to ask you, which one of these communities do you come from around here? Well, Bolchita, that's where you're from.
Yeah.
I see. Well, it'll save you the drive up from there to tomorrow because it won't be necessary to come back. Well, I think it's getting time for you to go. And so I'm going to shut this meeting.